I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Yo, 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 yo. Rocking and rolling, rocking and reeling into the 5 o'clock hour, getting the proverbial let out. And we welcome you. It's Sports Talk. Do we have TBS proper on? Good job by Nick. I know. I have no idea why I said that. Max Scherzer squaring off with Milwaukee All-Star Brandon Woodruff. And the Nats are the host. We get the American League game on the morrow. And then, Thursday, divisional series starts. So stoked. Be at Quacker's Last Stop on Friday doing Crunch Time and Sports Talk as part of Frostbrewed Friday. Janky game starts about 10 after 4. And going to hang out, watch the end of that, as it's also the most important day of the year when we celebrate my birthday, number 59. Yep, the last one in my 50s. I hope they have a lot of vodka. that realization just made me realize I'm going to need some vodka and ice and a glass. Just put me in the corner and hope for the best. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. So the A's are throwing Sean Manaea tomorrow. Charlie Morton, who's just a terrific offseason pickup after pitching so well during this recent success of the Houston Astros had witnessed. And he will toe the slab at Oakland. And that's a 5 o'clock game. ESPN's got the coverage tomorrow. The A's ended up just a game and a half. I don't know if any of the teams set for the divisional series have released their rotation, but what, the Dodgers aren't going to throw Kershaw in game one of a divisional series? That seems ridiculous, right?
Pitch Sunday.
Sunday? So they start Thursday. How many innings did he pitch on Sunday?
4 days rest. He probably went six or at least.
Ooh, you may have a point. Ryu?
Yeah, Walker Buehler, also pretty good.
Buehler.
Ryu pitched Saturday.
So that would be his turn.
Yeah, so his normal day would be Thursday. So maybe it would be Ryu.
I wouldn't be surprised, knowing Roberts, to have his guy go on his regular turn and with the way he's thrown, although he wasn't lights out. I mean, in the first half, it was like, yeah, he's the Cy Young Award winner. He's throwing better than anybody in the game. And then he had some... that's my eloquently put way of saying he wasn't as good. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. Let's get to the phones and bring in David. David, good afternoon. How's it going?
I'm good.
Not so much. David, you need a better connection. Appreciate the call. Got nothing. I hear nothing. You know what I hate what ESPN does? When they get into the postseason, you have to, they now update it, and if you hit a guy, you don't get the game log. You actually have to do an extra click, and we know I don't like that. So this guy was just lights out, and then all of a sudden August came around, and His ERA hit 7.5 for the month. It went up from 1.4 to 2.3, and then he settled in and was a little bit better, although his first start in September against Colorado, no bargain. The offense bailed him out. He pitched into the – he didn't even get through five innings, got gave up six hits, three runs, four walks. He was terrible. But then he bounced back, beating the Mets at NY. And then it falls into the quality start category. He beat the Coloridians, seven innings, six hits, struck out eight, did give up two bombs, allowed three earned runs. And then at San Francisco this past weekend, he finished the season on a real high note, went seven innings through shutout ball. And gave up just five hits, didn't walk anybody, struck out seven. So he ends up 14-5 with a 2.3 ERA. And I was trying to think in the National League who we leaning on for Cy Young. DeGrom again did not have a lot of walks. Kershaw actually came on, ended up winning 16 games. I mean, obviously, they have a lot of offense, and he's spectacular, but that was kind of sneaky with the way his season started. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Now, let's bring in David. David, good afternoon. What's up?
Hey, Steve. So, yesterday we were talking about the 94 Washington game, and today I wanted to comment on, because today's 25 years since the one of the more underrated games, the USC game of 94, when we were total underdogs, and nine sacks in that game, 31 net yards. I just wanted to get your memory of it on the air.
Appreciate it. First of all, that'll always be the game where O'Neal was hurt, and word didn't come down until either late Friday or Saturday. And as strange as this sound, because it was down there, I know it was on TV. I was in Sun River at a wedding. And we were kind of, you could imagine, I'm kind of a degenerate now, take away 25 years, and I'm hanging out in Sun River, and one of my buddies whom I moved out here with from Wayne, New Jersey, who had been practicing law in Palo Alto. So we were at this big old wedding with an open bar, and just having a ball, and was only kind of checking in on the game, but it was kind of, what would be the best way to put it, a dose of reality, because we were talking about it earlier. The way the season started after the Portland State walkover, I mean, they looked terrible at Hawaii. They looked terrible against Utah. Then Iowa came here, and that was the game, if you were around then, and you went out to your car after the game, and there were the Ditch Rich flyers that were being handed out. Instead, they wind up kicking the living crap out of the Hawkeyes, and then without O'Neal, they went down to USC and held that offense to 7 points, and would only lose at Washington State. You know, obviously there was the Cal win here, then the program-turning victory, Kenny Wheaton's going to score. But the Washington game, as important as that was, when Arizona came here, Desert Swarm with Teddy Bruschi, that was the victory 10-9. The only touchdown of the game for Oregon was in the corner to Josh Wilcox. That was the day, October 29th, where Oregon first had the inside track. They controlled their own fate, but none of it would have happened without that road win at USC. And I believe at the time that was the first time the Ducks had won at the Coliseum in 23 years. So you had to go to 1971. And that USC team had Rob Johnson at quarterback. And it was the year before his breakout season, but still, Keyshawn Johnson that year, 66 catches for 1,300 yards. That dude averaged 21 yards a catch. It wasn't an offense that would make the usual imprint on the NFL beyond Keyshawn, who was the number one overall pick, went to the Jets. It would actually end up being, for USC, okay. You know, they went 8-3-1 under John Robinson. They would go 6-2 in conference. They'd be great the next year when they wound up beating Northwestern in the Rose Bowl with a combination of quarterbacks. And Keyshawn just went berserk that season as well. At the time, it was kind of a rarity, but he had more than 100 catches for a college player. So, yeah, interesting. The last home game of 94 and that USC game are like the last Oregon games I have missed. I watched the Oregon State game up at then Parker Stadium, was on TV. You know, they needed to win that to win the conference, and it was a tight one. But Oregon State had absolutely no ability to throw the ball. I remember when they got the ball on the last series, it was like, well, unless Oregon gets caught napping, this is pretty much in the bag. By the way, Scherzer just got taken out by Yasmani Grandal for a two-run homer. I think he was the second batter of the game. Wow. That'll silence you in a hurry. That, I mean, you could just see the look on his face, the reaction of people. It's like, all right, we're settling in. We got the mighty. Well, this is terrible. This is unacceptable. And, wow, it's one of those cases where he tried down and in. It was kind of down, not really in. And Grandal just hit an absolute missile into the right field bullpen. And already, by the way, if they lose this game, I mean, the narrative is going to be, what's the point? They never advance.
Send them back to Montreal will be the point of all of it.
Make them the Senators, for the love of God and all that is good.
Literally anything but this.
Jeez, that's got to be frustrating to be a fan of that team. Madonna mia. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So, I did see the article, and some of you have texted about Alberto Salazar, a four-year ban for doping. There was an endocrinologist involved, a doctor who works with endocrine glands and hormones. The group involved is the Nike Oregon Project, where those runners trained. An arbitration panel had the final word, and the punishment was doled out for possessing and trafficking in testosterone. The BBC originally did the investigative reporting. Witnesses who are named provided evidence. There are as many as 30 witnesses that USADA heard from, and it's a brutal condemnation. And whatever you've read, I'm just passing along facts. And we just know that track and field has been filthy. And the bottom line is the whole deny, 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 deny. It seems like they really did their homework. Wow, for a minute, I thought that was a homer. I was watching it out of the corner of my eye. I would just been like, all right, everybody go home. This is ridiculous. Another thing, NBA camps have opened. Was everybody aware the Lakers are the favorite to win the title? Okay. I know LeBron is back healthy. They got AD. Kuzma makes him a nice big three. They added Danny Green. And who's second? The Clippers! It's like picking the Mariners to win the American League. I mean, it's clearly ridiculous. Or I guess they overvalue Mo Harkless. I guess, you know, is the top duet right now LBJ and AD, or is it I'm a fun guy Kawhi and Paul George?
I'm a fun guy.
By the way, as a rule, if you have to tell people you're honest or funny, and you laugh like that.
I mean, yeah, I would absolutely want to hang out with somebody that laughed like that all of the time.
That's, really?
Oh, no, Steve. It's
why?
It sounds horrible. Who would laugh like that? It sounds painful. Like,
yeah.
It's an awkward laugh that you're just like the pity laugh that you put out, and you're like,
you know, I don't know. The only thing worse than that laugh is people who don't laugh and say, that's funny.
That's
well,
so
then
funny.
Laugh.
There's a Scrubs episode about that where, like, JD is dating a girl, and I think it was Mandy Moore. She was, like, the special guest star for a couple of weeks or whatever, but she would not laugh, and at everything she would smile and go, that's so funny.
I think they ripped off Seinfeld on that
so
one.
So funny.
Yeah, that... I have a cousin who had a friend who used to do that. You know, bunch of degenerates. We'd
so
laugh.
Funny.
And she would go, that's funny. Then laugh! Anyway, the Clippers are not going to win the championship. Isn't that like the one statement you can make in life and politics and movies and music and just be like, there's no chance you'll ever be wrong.
I mean, we kind of all thought it would be a joke that he went to Toronto and they would do anything, and then they beat the Warriors and they won the damn title. So, yeah, I think Kawhi playing in a country, in a part of the country that he likes to live in, as opposed to being in the Great White North and playing basketball under, you know, just kind of being forced to play up there, and he still played that well and won them a title. Yes, I would give the Clippers a damn good chance at winning the NBA title
this
year.
No chance.
The West is so down.
No
the Warriors
chance.
Aren't the same.
The Clippers can't win the championship. I have to stop following sports. I can't live like this. I'm begging for this not to happen. Although, you know, they got Lou Williams, who's a great scorer off the bench. The roster looks a little bit different. You know who the favorite is in the East?
The 76ers.
No.
Oh.
The Bucks. I was playing to you. You blew it. It was an alley-oop dunk, and you slipped and fell on a banana peel. And by the way, they did win 60 games last year. You know, Giannis and Middleton are back. Eric Bledsoe. They now have both Lopez's. That's like having all the Molinas. They trade him Malcolm Brogdon to the Pacers for a first-round pick. And I think, interestingly enough, I kind of forgot. And because, you know, it's October 1st, the NBA... they got a sniper. They got Kyle Korver to be just add water offense off the bong. By the way, the Blazers are the 11th most popular choice at 30-1, tied with the Raptors. They're picked 7th in the West, only according to the odds. They're behind the LA teams, Rockets, the Warriors, the Jazz, and the Nuggets. We'll elaborate on that a little bit because I did a tad of NBA homework. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Whoever put out those odds is an idiot because the Blazers are winning the championship.
Again?
Yeah!
Yeah. Hey. I just had to call in, though, and take umbrage with what Nick said, because Nick said the West was down. The West is not down. The Warriors are down. The West as a whole, though, is up. And the thing that I'm excited for this season as a Blazer fan is not that we're favored to win anything, but all of a sudden there's no big three. It's big twos all across the board. And the parity in the West, who knows what's going to happen, and that's what's exciting about it to me.
No, I agree. Denver's really interesting. Utah, Houston's got their experiment going on. I think you could probably kind of line through Oklahoma City. It's interesting. I don't think we've ever heard this little about the Spurs since before they got David Robinson.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm confident of this NBA season is the Lakers are going to implode. the off season news that's been going on with them already is you know, astronomical, and I think that they're one injury away from not even making the playoffs.
Wow! Yet they're the favorites according to this site, which is kind of interesting.
Like I said, the site is wrong. The Blazers are winning the championship. So,
all right, my bad. I stand corrected, Josh.
Take care, Steve.
Take it easy. So, three teams picked at 300-1, and one of them isn't the Knicks. The Suns are garbage. The Cavaliers now, because they don't have any good players, and the Charlotte Hornets. And the thing with the Hornets is you kind of forget because Jordan is a terrible front office guy. I mean, they don't do anything. Last year, sub 500. Who's their coach? James Borrego. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Mitch Kupchak is their GM now. Mitch Kupchak. After he left L.A., I didn't even know where he surfaced. And the bottom line is, why would you even care where he surfaced? Because he surfaced there. I mean, the Hornets, you know, the last good thing they did was upset the Celtics with Alonzo Mourning and LJ and Grandmama. They have, I'm just trying to think, since the franchise started in 88, yeah, that was the team that when they had Dave Cowens and Paul Silas, they've only made the playoffs three times this century, and they never made it out. They got run in the first round in 2010. They got run in the first round in 2014. They got run in the first round in 2016. And now they're picked as one of the worst teams in the NBA. They had one winning season of the last five. And, you know, remember, it wasn't that long ago where they went 7-59 during the strike season. And they followed that up with 21-61. So now Jordan is a part owner of that team, right? He's not just the general manager. And we're going to have a competition between Hall of Famers, whether it's Derek Jeter with the Marlins or Michael Jordan of the Hornets, who are just the contrast between their brilliance in between the white lines, and it's like never put a suit on and never, ever make decisions regarding the sport you once dominated.
I've been talking to people walking here. We've been talking about next year, and I'm sitting there saying, I'm not going to be here.
Somebody said they thought Jordan sold his share. I didn't know that. We'll have to put our Cracker Jack staff on it next. All right, before we take a break, shout out to my friends at Small World Auto at 2090 West 11th in Eugene. Call Marty.
Still the owner.
What?
Jordan is still the owner of the Hornets.
Okay, thank you. 2090 West 11th in Eugene. Give Marty and his A-plus staff a call, 228-9774. They're a family-owned automotive service center. They encourage you that, A, if you've got a problem, they're happy to help. They do it all, domestic, import. If your car needs service, call them. But keep up on those scheduled maintenance checkpoints, be it getting your oil change, replacing service items, the 30, the 60, the 90,000-mile checkups. Do it all. They've got a magnificent rep. They have integrity. The quality of the work they do is backed up by a 12-month nationwide warranty. The nationwide. All right, I had to get a little ZZ Top in there. Again, the phone number, 228-9774, online, smallworldauto.com. All right, the Nationals are up, trailing 2-1, two outs. Who is that, Rendon? They're a third baseman at the plate. Scherzer gave up a knock and a homer to start the game off. The Brew Crew up 2-0. All right, break time. Back with an update. More sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at Guarantee.com.
Athletes can use their influence in the wrong way. I think this time LeBron has it right, and the NCAA has been exposed in many ways as a fraudulent organization that only cares about itself, that only cares about making more money from themselves. And why can't a player, regardless of how good he is or where he plays or where she plays, make a few bucks?
Max Scherzer is the worst pitcher in the National League. Eric
and
Thames.
That's the double truth, Ruth.
Ruth. Yeah, it is. It's Eric Thames. He just took him yard. Originally a Yankee property, by the way. Went to school at the place. I don't understand how people go to school there, Pepperdine. By the way, the conversation about Michael Jordan as an owner, he did, in fact, less than 2 weeks ago, sell his minority interest in the Hornets. Now, check this out. When he first invested, the team had a value of $280 million. Now it's $1.5 billion. So I mean, he is now in the neighborhood of like a billionaire, which is not common. I think he, LeBron, were kind of the race to see which ball player was able to scrape together $1 billion. That's a good race to win, by the way. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. As we work our way through a Tuesday, let's bring in the other Steve. Steve, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well, within reason. I'm probably one of the few people who saw both of those games, both of those teams, and both of those games. 1971 at the Coliseum. I was there. I lived down there at the time. And then, of course, I was fortunate enough to be there for the pick. And I was wearing green and yellow when they played the Trojans down there, only because whoever the Trojans played, I wore the other team's colors.
Nice.
And it was a practical joke on the person who sold me the season tickets. I liked good football. That's why I had a season ticket for them, which I had for about 4 years.
Well, that was a pretty good time to watch them play.
Oh, God, yes. I saw probably what some people, and I won't argue with it, the following year,
72,
may be the greatest football team, college football team of all time. Now, that may or may not be the case.
It's sure as hell on the list. It's sure as hell on the list.
Yes. And then on the team that the Trojans fielded in 71, they didn't have a very good record. They had a losing record that year, but they had some players nevertheless. Sam Cunningham was on that team, John Vella. Mike Ray was a quarterback. He was... he wasn't starting, as I recall. They had somebody else.
No, Sam Bam Cunningham.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, he was one of the guys who kind of invented up and over.
Yeah. And a great football player, later played with the Patriots, if I remember right.
Absolutely. And Lynn Swann was on that team.
Yeah. It was a fun evening. And what people don't remember is that on the very last minutes of that game, with the Ducks leading by what was the final score, 28-23, one of the halfbacks broke loose and ran it all the way back from about their own 15-yard line, the Trojans' own 15-yard line, with what would have been a winning touchdown. And that was called back for a holding call, and so otherwise USC would have won that game. And I was just overjoyed when I saw that flag come out. And the Ducks, for their part, simply controlled the game. They were running a veer offense at that time.
And was Fouts the quarterback?
He was supposed to be, but he was injured, and they used Harvey.
The two times they won was with a backup in 71 and 94.
That's correct. They used Amazing. Lefty in 94.
Yeah, Graziani.
Graziani.
Yeah, Tony Graziani.
And they used Harvey, I can't remember his
last
name.
It's 71, Steve. We're going to let you off the hook.
He was a little guy, and he would just drift down that line, and then when there was a small opening, he would duck through underneath the USC linemen, who were huge. And it was something to watch. These guys would be grasping at air, and Harv would just duck down to where he was about waist high and just sneak through for 5 or 6 yards. And they pretty much controlled the game with that routine the whole time. And I'll tell you, I went home a very happy person that night. That was really a fun game to watch if you weren't rooting for USC.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the key to the whole program there.
Exactly.
All right, Stevie.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. On that that 72 team that went unbeaten, they had a all-purpose dude by the name of Anthony Davis. He had one of the most remarkable performances you'll ever see in the 1974 game against Notre Dame. The Irish went up 24-0 and lost. USC spotted Notre Dame 24 points and then beat them 55-24. The second half started with a 102-yard kick return by AD. He had two more touchdowns rushing. He had one receiving. And he didn't really amount to much in the NFL, but I remember that game because I used to look forward to Notre Dame USC and rooting against Notre Dame. And you know, like when I came out here, people would talk about, you know, I don't like this one. It's like I kind of like all the other Pac-10 teams because I always rooted for this conference in the Rose Bowl. And of course, if you grew up in the 70s and the 80s, the Rose Bowl, you know, we used to laughingly call it the Pac-3 because you never saw anybody. It was either UCLA, it was obviously Washington was in a bunch, or Southern Cal. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Here's a great tweet from the last minute from Rich Brooks. Played Eugene Country Club today, and his partner was Mike Bellotti, who made a hole-in-one on the second hole. Said, I love Coach Brooks post the scores, that he shot 81, and lost to Bellotti by two, and Bellotti's made two holes in one. Brooks has only made one. To both of you, I say, I've been playing since I'm 14 years old in 1974. I still ain't made my ace. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you wanted to jump on in. We're talking some NBA earlier. The Jazz, we obviously have a Salt Lake City resident among us now living. They've got, you know, the trend has been towards a big three, but they've got a really good 1-2 punch, the Stifle Tower, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. They also made a move. Remember, they upgraded at the point. They obtained Mike Conley from the Grizzlies and a former Portland fan favorite, the Grinder, Ed Davis, got a 2-year deal at the mid-level exception rate. You know, the story I read on Blazers Edge about Nurkic as he resumes his rehab from that gruesome injury said he had a pain-free summer and was able to get around Bosnia. I guess that's the ultimate test for an injury. There is no specific timeline for his return. He likes the addition of Pau Gasol, as I would be if I were a Blazer fan. They added the Knicks' Mario Hezonja up front. Hassan Whiteside is a premier board man. I mean, that's a 12-13 rebound a game dude. He also shoots a crazy high percentage as his shot chart, if you were to do that it's all in the paint and dunks. Now a full season with Rodney Hood. Kent Bazemore, I think, is a more consistent scorer than Evan Turner. It's an interesting team. You know, the Blazers are absolute playoff team, probably 50-some-odd win team. And you know, how it all comes together and how the West shakes out. How good is AD and LeBron in one LA? You know, the Clippers with, I'm a fun guy, Kawhi, and Paul George. I mean, what do we make of the Rockets? Are they going to actually get another ball? Do we just completely dismiss Golden State because of the Clay injury and no KD as well? I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs or be bad or anything like that. Then you have Utah and Denver. The Nets are installed as the 1-2 third best odds in the East over Philadelphia. Oh, no, not over Philly, over Boston. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I'll be perfectly honest. I kind of forgot the Nets were a 500 team last year, a couple games over 500, and made the playoffs, got run. And this year, you know, obviously he's not going to play. They got KD, but they also have Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan. I guess that's kind of an interesting team. They're the Nets, so hopefully they'll go 0-82. And I won't even waste your guys' time because I value you too much as human beings by talking about the Knicks. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Tomorrow is going to be a loaded for bear show. Just past the top of the hour when we begin crunch time, we'll chat up George Shiroda of USA Today. Obviously, lots of college foosball to talk about. At 3:30, Jenny Dial Creech of the Houston Chronicle, who wrote what I think is one of the best pieces on this whole Fair Pay to Play Act, a really in-depth, tremendous piece of sports journalism, and she's very much in favor of this taking root, and she cites stuff about Johnny Manziel and the California statute, and you know, long after guys leave college, a school is still making money off their jerseys and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. Then at 4:30, we start to kind of zone in on Cal Oregon with Todd McKim, who works for the Cal Sports Network, basketball and football. Of course, the longtime sports director at KVAL-TV here in town. A guy who, while the tradition and why not, the voice of the Ducks, Jerry Allen, with the Kenny Wheaton's going to score call that was on the radio. There was a TV call, and we'll play that for you tomorrow for sure. And it's hard to believe we're coming up on the 25th anniversary of that game. We're in the 25th anniversary of that season. So a lot to talk about. Todd McKim called that game on TV and had his own distinctive call. And you could also hear the analysis and the breakdown of how they should spread the field from our own Ken Woody on that call as well. So along with the Crunch Exchange and midweek and the latest on the MLB playoffs, so we'll talk about tonight's game, which is going on right now with the Brewers have jumped the mighty Max Scherzer for three quick runs on two homers. And Washington already in a hole at home, trying to advance, do something right in the playoffs for the first time in franchise history. Well, I guess if you go back to when they were the Expos, they made the playoffs, I think, once during the strike season of 1981, wound up winning what was the... It used to be back then, it was just division winners. You had four teams in the playoffs, but because of the weird split season, they decided to award the division winner of each half played against each other, and the then Expos beat the Phillies before they lost the NLCS to the Dodgers, who would go on to win a championship. Very famous moment where the Expos brought in their ace, 20-game winner, Steve Rogers, late in the game to face Rick Monday of the Dodgers, who tanked one to dead center, and that turned out to be the NLCS clinching home run. And then the Dodgers beat the Yankees in the 81 series in six. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take our final break of this Tuesday edition of the program, come back with the Tweet of the Day and the finale at of Sports Talk 95.3, The Score.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc, Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbrewed Sports Desk. Flop the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. Dallas Braden, at DallasBraden209, tweeted out an incredible video today. He said, good morning, it's wild card season. It was a video of him in his hot tub, I believe, filming the video from above the whole time. You look down, you see his eyes are open, and he does the craziest thing ever. He gets out of the pool without blinking. From underwater to above water, he doesn't blink.
That's a little creepy.
It's very creepy. It sounds very strange as well. But Dallas, I'm sure for tomorrow, very excited to watch his A's in the wildcard game. Damian Lillard, at Dame_Lillard, put out a new song today called Rain, Rain, Go Away, R-E-I-G-N. I'm not sure what happened, if he went after Shaquille O'Neal first or Shaq went after him. You can also debate the merits of the Smack Talk, which we probably will on Thursday. It's kind of a teaser. Stay listening, everybody. But the song itself that Lillard put out to rebuttal of Shaq's smack as a rap or whatever, I don't know. It's incredible. Check that out. But a refreshing tweet of the day. Steve kind of mentioned it earlier. At Lights Camera Pod put out a map of favorite movie candy by state. Oregon is Good and Plenty. California is Terrible. Dots, which is fair. Texas is Black Licorice, which is very strange. Another one that's really weird. Wisconsin, Kraft Mac and Cheese Slices.
That's all BS, by the way. I'm not buying any of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. But the best one that Will Brinson brought up, and that's why it's our refreshing tweet of the day, at Will Brinson, tweeted, crying at the idea of people in North Dakota eating baked beans in a movie theater, because baked beans is indeed the candy that they listed.
Baked
North
beans.
Dakota.
I will poison someone.
In a movie theater. So good. So thanks to at Will Brinson for opening my eyes and seeing that we kind of got mad about the Good and Plenty's, but we completely passed over baked beans, which just sounds incredible. Follow me on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Follow Steve on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerko. Just do it.
Hey, jerko. Just do it. Nobody likes you anyway. The Jed Jerko store called. They're running out of you.
Yes.
Good luck in prison. All right. Welcome back. You're doing very well. Still 3-0, third inning. Wash Lincoln and Milwaukee. Like I said, we got a huge, huge, huge show tomorrow. What's the Thursday nighter this week? It's a good one, isn't it? The NFL has another good matchup.
Rams-Seahawks, which you'll be able to hear right here on 95.3, The Score.
Oh, do we get kicked off early
because
it's a Thursday?
At 5:15, I believe.
Riding the train on the 5:15. Da-da-da-da. Who album was 5:15 on? I think Quadrophenia. I don't know why these things pop into my head. I'm probably better off not knowing. I kind of want Washington to win. You know, I never made the bet. And now, right now, I'm happy I didn't. Yeah, yeah. My daughter and son-in-law were going to Vegas. And you know, I could make the bet online. There's no problem with that. But to me, there was something that looked, and they were about 14-1 at the time when they really got hot. And it looked like they might even challenge the ATL for the East about a month ago. And it was like, should I bet the Nats to win the whole thing? Just drop a C note. And do the actual cash, and if they end up winning, oh, I have an excuse to go to Las Vegas. And I didn't. I don't know if I chickened out or I got bored or if I forgot or I'm just not that bright, but I ended up not doing it. All right. I haven't dived into the NFL enough, but what struck me when I woke up Sunday, I was like, I'm kind of excited to watch the Giants. It's been a couple of years. Washington turned it over. I'll tell you what. It was interesting to watch Daniel Jones scramble like 14 yards for a first down, something we haven't seen since like Jeff Hostetler was quarterback in the early 90s. But then the second quarter showed up, and I remember saying to a buddy of mine after Danny Dimes threw his first interception, I was like, so let's put that ceremony in Canton on hold for now. And then we have Dwayne Haskins come in, and so it's like, oh, there's the number 6 pick, there's a number 15 pick of this last draft squaring off. It was wild to see. So the G-Men were up 17-3. And so the logic was on 3rd and 14 after the whole don't risk it, just kick a field goal. But they decide, hey, we got this kid in there. He drops the pass. He eludes 2 different defenders and scrambles for the first down. But then, by the way, the Giants fumbled, and the Washlinkins picked it up. But Dwayne Haskins got pick six by Jabril Peppers. And, man, I think I mentioned it yesterday. Tom Brenneman, the play-by-play guy, that was a savage commentary. He says, because Haskins is obviously a Buckeye, and Jabril Peppers played for Michigan. It's like, that's the first time in a while something's gone right for a Michigan man against a Buckeye. It was like, whoa, hi-ho, hi-ho, that is mean to you, you know. Then you had Derek Carr looking like a world beater against the Colts. Dude hit 11 of his first 13 for two touchdowns. The Raiders built a big lead in the first half. How about that end around to Trevor Davis? That was the first time he ever touched the ball as an Oakland Raider, and he went 60 yards for a touchdown. 11 days earlier, they traded him with Green Bay, sending the proverbial undisclosed 2020 pick. And amazing. Of course, touchdown like that. Baltimore versus the land of Cleves, another battle of former Heisman winner. First blood went to Mayfield. He threw a pick in the second, man. Dude had been in a groove over his first 15 throws. But, you know, the interception was a great play by Maurice Kennedy. And the Ravens capitalized, used a running game. But then it turned out to be pretty lopsided in favor of the land of Cleves. I did not catch up with the Chiefs and Lions till late because I was actually watching the Giants. And, you know, Mahomes and Stafford, Detroit went out 10-0. It was kind of a tale of two quarters. Detroit had a couple of scoring drives in the first, field goal, then touchdown. By the way, the tight end for Detroit, who was their eighth overall pick from Iowa, TJ Hawkinson, he's really good. Here's his nickname, the Hawkness Monster. Yeah, that guy is a bowler. But then, of course, Kansas City responded. They drove 83. They had to settle for a field goal. Early in the third, Detroit recovered a Kansas City fumble. They drive into a goal-to-go situation. And then Detroit doesn't seem to get a lot of calls go their way. So Stafford hits his big receiver, Kenny Golladay, for a touchdown. And they review it. They call it incomplete. And so you're thinking, well, it's third and goal. What happens next? Stafford gets flushed from the pocket, gets stripped, fumbles, Chiefs get the ball. It's just the most Lions thing ever. It's the Clippers, the Lions. Don't get your hopes up. It ain't going to happen, guys. Sorry. Sorry to be the bearer of not only bad news, but reality, because reality bites. All right, like I said, very big show tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Have a great evening. Thanks for listening to Sports Talk and Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score.